passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and happy Halloween for all of my listeners here at the Dr. Kevin Show. For those of you who are joining us for the first time here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to take you outside the box, behind the curtain, and expose what a load of crap is going on in the world today. And we bring in a large variety of different guests to do just that. But this show tonight is going to be a little special because it's not every year that the Dr. Kevin Show lands on Halloween. And so we're going to be talking ghosts tonight. It's just going to be you and me and a few disincarnate spirits along the way. I am also opening this up to people to call in. As we always do have call-ins, and you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or if you would like, you can leave comments on the Dr. Kevin fan page. You go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and actually tonight, underneath tonight's show announcing it, I'm also going to put a link to my ghost DVD, which is an actual taping of my ghost class. So it's a live taping of my ghost class. It's about 2.5 hours long where we talk about ghosts, what are ghosts, what are not ghosts, what get confused with ghosts, how to not become a ghost, and among other things, and then some real-life ghost stories. So that's going to be most of what we're going to talk about tonight on this Halloween, All Hallows Eve, here on the Dr. Kevin Show, here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time, here on the Dr. Kevin Show. So before we do that, I do always like to jump in a little bit with kind of like what makes me hot under the collar, or who makes me feel warm and fuzzy in the cockles of my heart. And I do this on most shows, and then I invite my guests to comment on it. Tonight, I invite my listeners to comment on it if you'd like to call in, again, at 202-570-7057, or you can just hear it and share your thoughts and opinions online at My Dr. Kevin. And make sure when you're on the My Dr. Kevin page, make sure you like it. I'm a likable guy. If you have any question about that, just ask me. I'll tell you. I'm a likable guy, so you can like me on My Dr. Kevin, my Dr. Kevin Facebook page. So tonight there's something that warms the cockles of my heart. After, you know, Halloween is the time of trick or treat, and sometimes it is a little bit of a combination of both. But for many of us, this is a most treatful Halloween, because after, almost 3 years of being tricked, the treat that we got was the vote to open the public impeachment hearings for our one and only bully in chief, Donald Trump. As many of you know, I've never been a big Trump fan, but, you know, I tried to give the guy a chance at the beginning to see if his reputation as being kind of a sleazebag was not deserved. You know, maybe those 23, 24, 25 women lied about him, grabbing them, groping them, fondling them, raping them. Maybe they all lied. Maybe they all made it up. Maybe all those people who talked about how he would go in and he'd hire small contractors to do work, and then it's different for the bill. Maybe they all lied as well. Maybe he really did have bone spurs as the reason he couldn't go in to the service. Maybe he really was a genius and he doesn't cover up his transcripts or share his grades or share his taxes because none of us, we're all too stupid to understand it. We're all too stupid because he's so brilliant. Putting all that aside, when he first stepped into office, I said, let's give him a little bit of a chance. But 3 years was a little bit too much of a chance. Actually, it was a lot too much of a chance because he clearly established himself early on, as I like to call him, our bully in chief, where he lowered the office of presidency so that if you look up from the office of presidency now, you're probably looking at the bottom of a pigsty because he's rolling everybody in the mud. He wouldn't recognize the truth if he saw it, and he lies so consistently, and he doesn't even know he lies, which it kind of falls in a mental illness category, and this is who we have as president. So I'm very happy this Halloween that instead of getting Halloween candy, which is not good for my health anyways, I got the delightful news that we actually are opening up this impeachment. Now, on the other side, of course, there is something that still gets me a little hot and bothered, is that there are some people that just will not see the truth, will not comment on his own words anytime they defend Trump, and they defend Trump as this. It always starts with, well, Hillary did this. And Obama did that, and this one did that. They never defend when he says truly horrible things, or sometimes they try to say, oh, it was taken out of context. No, I actually watched it on a video clip. There were his words coming out of his mouth. I saw his lips moving. We'd like to think that he really is just a dummy and somebody else is pulling the strings, but if he is a dummy, he's not one where he has a puppet master. Well, maybe he does. I guess that's Putin's role, isn't it, to be his puppy master. That being said, you know, we again have seen him be crude, rude, unacceptable, misogynistic, homophobic, and lie, you know, lie. And now he's, you know, actually committing what many people think, and I'm one of them, is treason. And still people will hold on. And not really defend his actions anymore because they're undefendable. They just have a broken record. Hillary this. So it also did warm the cockles of my heart to have them chant at the World Series, lock him up, lock him up, lock him up. And all we can hope is that that voice rings out and that the Supreme Court justice, who will be running the trial in the Senate when it goes to the Senate, is more of a patriot than a politician, that he'll make sure that everything comes out for people to see, and then some people will still just completely lie to themselves and get all, I'm not a bigot, I'm not a white supremacist, I'm not any of those horrible things that he is. Recently, I was asked on my Facebook line, I came up on my Facebook line if I thought Trump was a Christian. I said, well, based on actions, I'd have to say no. I was challenged that I was casting a stone and that Christianity allowed for sinners. But I said, but sinners that it allows for has to ask for redemption. They have to ask for forgiveness. They have to admit that they were wrong. They have to admit that they did something wrong. There has to be an honest evaluation and a real plea that to help me be more Christian in my nature. And you're supposed to change the behavior. Oops, tiny little thing. Well, guess what? I don't see this president doing any of those things. And for all those pro-birthers, because I won't call them pro-lifers, so often many of those people don't vote to support child services, daycare, all of those things that if they're really pro-lifer, they'd want to make sure that these babies that are born actually have a good life, have a decent life. Recently, it was brought to my attention that they, in a sting operation down in South Carolina, they found, I think it was over 4 million images or files that were on child porn. And then they found another whole second scam. They found 85,000 images of children under the age of 2 in child porn. 85,000 files of under two-year-olds being sexually abused and having it videoed or having pictures taken to sell and make money off of. And where are our pro-birthers? Because that's what they are. They're pro-birthers. They're not pro-lifers. Because they get all up in arms so often if you expect them to provide services to make sure that these children that they're so desperate to have born will actually have a life, a good life, a quality life, a life that every child deserves. They don't care about that. They just want that baby dropped. Then they wash their hands of it ever so often. But over and over again, I hear he's a Christian because he's a pro-birther. Well, you know, I don't think one opinion, which is kind of sort of, I don't even really believe. Of course, how can you believe anything by somebody who tells hundreds and thousands of lies publicly? Lies that are easily to prove, to fact check, to see with your own eyes are lies. How can you believe him? That he's really Christian? He's not pro anything but Trump and maybe his family. How do we make ourselves more wealthy? How do we make ourselves more powerful? How do we make people more beholden of us? So anyways, we are going to be moving on to the ghost part of this, I promise. But as I always start my show with something that makes me either hot under the collar or warms the cockles of my heart, I felt like this Halloween here in 2019 on the Ohm Time Show, it was too good an opportunity to talk about the trick and treat of this day's major events. And so I wanted to start there. Again, feel free to call in and share your opinions at 202-570-7057 or go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. And you can post your comments there if you would like, and we will get them there and bring them on air. And if you feel the need that you want to defend this president, that he somehow is your guy and that I'm not being fair to him, you're invited to do so. You're invited to do so. I am more than happy to hear what you have to say, as long as the words Hillary, Democrats, Clinton, Obama, they, them, whoever is not in your sentences. I don't want to hear about it, what anybody else did. I want to hear how you can defend this president's actions, this president's behaviors, this president's lies, this president's behaviors. So you can make any case you want, and you're welcome here on the Dr. Kevin Show, and I would love to hear it. I invite you, and I will actually invite you with open ears if you can avoid deflection. Because so far, in all the discussions I've had, period, social media, in person, on my radio show, whatever, I have never had anyone defend that didn't use deflection as the major core of their action. But they did it, but they did it, but they did it, but they did it. Why are you picking on my guy? They did it. Yeah, doesn't float here. So when we do get back from our first break, we will be, I'll be talking a little bit about my history with ghosts, so to speak, how I had my first early encounters with ghosts, a little bit of what ghosts are and things to be aware of. And then we're going to share some ghost stories. And if anybody has any questions about ghosts, or they think they may have a house that's haunted, or they've lived in it, or they want to know what to do, or stuff like that, we invite you in on All Hallows Eve here on the Dr. Kevin Show to call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. So that being said, we've got a couple minutes before break, I realize. One of my clocks was fast, so I thought I was going to hear the music any minute now, but I realize I'm not. So the first thing I want to say, wait a second, it looks like we might have a commenter. Nope. So the first thing I want to talk a little bit about was, as some of you may have heard me tell the story before, but I'm going to tell it again, and I always tell it when I teach classes, which is my own realization of my psychic abilities, because they play core with several of these ghost stories coming up. And so let me share this story with you up till break. So I was four, just a little short of 5 years old, and I was playing with my grandmother. And she was babysitting me, and I told my grandmother what I looked like, what she looked like when she was my age. I told her how she wore her hair. Then I told her the name of her best friend. And then I danced around the kitchen, singing the song that they used to sing when they played together. And it was all correct. My grandmother sat me down and she said, "Kevin, you have a gift, and it's a gift from God. But people will tell you that it's bad, or that it's wrong, or that they don't believe you. But as long as you know it's a gift from God, everything will be okay." Now, at that point, my grandmother, like I said, I was still four, a couple of months short of five, knew that these were pretty big words for a four-year-old, and knew that there was not the easiest of roads lying ahead of me when being that obviously outspokenly and clearly psychic as a child. So what she did is, being a good grandmother, she gave me not one, but two hot homemade chocolate donuts and my own plate of sugar, which in my mind, as I sat there and ate that, thought, well, whatever I did, it was really fabulous. And that's how my grandmother made sure that on some level I always knew that whatever happened because of my psychic abilities and whatever people said, that some part of me would always know it was a very good thing. So when we come back, I'm going to tell you about my first interaction with a dead person and then with a ghost here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one om at a time. And here on Halloween, we're going to talk ghosts. We're going to talk ghost stories. I'm going to tell ghost stories, and I will answer any and all questions that people might ask, either on my Dr. Kevin Facebook fan page or by calling in at 202-570-7057. So just as we close down the last session, section of the show, I talked a little bit about how I was kind of introduced or told about my own psychic abilities when I was still 4 years old by one of my grandmothers. Fast forward when that grandmother of mine came, when she died, she came to my bed. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was 8 years old. She was standing there. I could see her, and I could hear her in my head. I didn't realize at the time it was in my head because I could just hear her. And she said that, you know, that she had passed on, but that I still needed her so she would still be there for me. That next morning, my mother comes in and she's crying, and she tells me that my Grammy had died the night before. I sat up in bed and I said to her, "Okay, so what's for breakfast?" And my mother leaves the room shaking her head, thinking, "He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand death." And I remember saying in bed and thinking, "Mommy doesn't get it. Grammy hasn't gone anywhere." And so from that point, from that standpoint, I was very comfortable at least talking to dead people I knew. It was a couple more years, a year, year and a half or so, before I woke up one night in the middle of the night, and I could lift my head, and I could look into a mirror that was facing my bed. And when I looked into the mirror was a reflection of the hallway because I always kept my bedroom door open. Now, what I do want to say before I continue on with this part of the story is that as a small child, and I was 3 or 4 at the time, but I have some vague memories of it that really stayed with me because they were so traumatizing, my room actually had caught fire, had burned. Firemen had to come into the house. There was an electric shortage and a light. I couldn't sleep in my bedroom for quite a while. I can still actually picture the burned wallpaper that was in my bedroom from the fire. Of course, as a very small child, maybe it wasn't a very big fire. It was big enough that firemen came. I do remember the firemen coming, and I remember watching that there were things in my room that burned. So here I am, fast forward. I'm now 9 or so, and I see in the window, mirror across from my bed, that the hallway is all in flames. Well, with the history I had, probably even if I didn't have that history, let's say I was pretty freaked out. But I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. I could just look at the flames in the mirror. And then what I saw was a white outline figure of what looked like a young woman, as best as I could tell, in a long dress that was walking through the flames. Then some part of me realized that there was no smoke, there was no heat, that if there was that kind of flames going on, everybody in my house would be up and screaming or hollering or yelling or whatever. And I closed my eyes, and when I opened them up again, the images were gone. The images came a couple more times until at some point, just call it instinct, I don't know. I was at the house. I was there. I got very quiet, and I could feel the presence of the woman who showed herself to me in the flames. Over a course of several years, at some point I learned how to communicate with this woman who was a ghost. I also got to hear her story. And, you know, even though I had had a very supportive grandmother, I can't say that my psychic abilities were very supported in my childhood. I think I scared the adults to a certain degree, but the way of dealing with it, and for those of you who have psychic children, please don't ever do this. I would be told often that I was making things up, that I had a wild imagination, that I was lying, even when there was proof that would show up that what I knew, what I said I knew, or I saw, or I experienced was valid. They couldn't validate it because then they had to deal with the fact that they would have to acknowledge that I was a psychic child. And the adults that I was growing up with at the time did not want to do that. So I started communicating with this woman, started to get a name. Then I heard the story. And I didn't share the story with anybody at the time because at the time there was nobody I could talk to share it with. But I got the story from the ghost perspective, that her house had burned down in the middle of the night, that she was waiting for her fiancé, the love of her life, to return from the war going on down south. I got a sense that it was the War of 1812, actually. And again, this was over a lot of, you know, there was a lot of time, and there's a lot of, like, different, like, little pieces or things I would pick up. As she knew that I could sense her and feel her and see her, and sometimes she would still come in a more visionary form, but oftentimes I would just kind of feel and know her presence was there. But I didn't know what to do with her or about her. She wasn't harmful. She didn't hurt me. She had no malintent. And for all intents and purposes, there was no way that I could tell her that, in a way that I would think of, that I knew how to communicate, that, you know, don't hang around anymore, honey. He ain't coming home. The War of 1812 was a long time ago. But, I don't know, it was kind of like having a friend. And that it was a comforting friend, and that she was a very gentle spirit. She was a very gentle energy. And I had a very turbulent childhood, so that gentle energy. Now, and again, if I had even said to anybody that I was having this friend as a ghost, that I would have been accused of lying or making it up or that it was imaginary. But I built a relationship over time with her. And then my parents got transferred, took new jobs. I moved out of the house, but we continued to own it for several more years. And in fact, I got a chance to move back into it as it had been turned into apartments. After we left, it turned into two apartments. And I went back as an adult and lived in those apartments on a couple of different occasions. But it wasn't until after I did my first ghost clearing, another story, that I started to understand that clearing the ghost was something that one did. Like, that these energies, though they were, might be gentle or shy, or they might even be pushy, or they might even have energy that was not always kind or gentle as time went on. I had some of those experiences as well, but that in some way or shape or form, they were trapped. And as being trapped, that one, if one was capable, to try to move them on. I did go back as a late teenager, early 20-something, and I did reconnect with her. And when I had the skill set to know what I needed to do or what I could do, to help her move on, I did help her move on. I did actually bring in the energy of her fiancé, who was on the other side. And have him help her cross over. I did do it from a place of love and him welcoming her over to the other side. Interestingly enough, when I connected with his energy and asked his energy to be present, it turned out that he had actually died in the War of 1812. That she didn't know that he had died in the War of 1812 because she had died. So she didn't know. The other interesting thing that I found was that when I went to the local library and I did a little research, I did find out that there was a house that had been built where my house was, which had been built in the 1820s, that had burned down, and that the occupants had died in the fire. It took some research and it took a little time, but I verified that my house was built on this house. And so, that being said, I was happy to send her on her way. Now, one of the things I want to actually say at this point is that it's become very popular these days with ghosts and things like that, for having ghost hunters and medium shows and all sorts of other things, where people want to go and see ghosts and experience ghosts, and you have these people that will take you to haunted places and things like this. And I've always been very opposed to that. And it took me a little bit to figure out why, the ghost tours. Now, there are many things out there that are not actual ghosts, that are other things that fall into the realm of what we think of as the supernatural or the undead or disquieted spirits or things like that. But they're not truly ghosts, as I came to know the idea of ghosts. Because for me, a ghost was a trapped soul. It was one that was stuck for some reason with the inability to cross over, that stayed where they were because they had no choice. They didn't know how to get free. There are many reasons that happens, and I go over all of that when I teach my ghost classes, or like I said, on my Dr. Kevin is a link to my ghost DVD, which is a taping of one of my live ghost classes. But these ghosts are trapped. They're wounded in a way. They're stuck. And several years ago, I was on a TV show being interviewed, and somebody called in who was going to be on this same guy's TV show the following week, and he was a ghost hunter and he did ghost tours. Well, first of all, I found it very inappropriate that he's calling in on my time when I'm actually, so he can promote him being his stuff and that he's going to be on the next show. Just seemed rather rude to me. Like, I'm the guest this week, but the guy that was interviewing me just kind of rolled with the flow and didn't say anything. But I asked the guy, so when you find these ghosts, do you clear them? Do you heal them? Do you send them on to the other side? And he said, no. And I said, well, is that because you don't know how? Well, of course I know how. So, but you leave them. And it's so interesting because I have to share the image that I got at that point was the image of back, you know, the circus back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And they would travel with all these oddities, deformed, you know, children or even adults that were somehow put on display, sometimes even kept in a cage, that they were caged and that they sold tickets to show these abnormalities off, these monsters, these people that, would scare people, or people would stare at, or whatever, and they're so weird. But at least then, those people who were outcast from society, as society was not very open or understanding of differences, as sometimes it's not today, got a place to stay, got a bed, got fed. As far as we know, they weren't tortured or treated horribly. But they had to be put up with the humiliation of being called creatures or monsters or described as ugly or horrible, or here as the person out front would, the ringmaster or the person that would be hawking about, come see this, you know, horrible person or this ugly person or whatever. And that's all I could think of as this ghost hunter was on the show promoting a ghost tour where he'd take you to real haunted spots where there were real ghosts. So if there were really ghosts, if there were really trapped souls, then in some ways they were like those oddities, those little kids, those individuals, those outcasts of society that were locked behind cages to, you could sell tickets and make money off of them. Only they got food and shelter and had a family within the circus, or we hope so. But the ghosts don't. They're trapped. It's like they're locked in a moment of time at their time of death that didn't allow them to move on. And to look at those ghosts, to be able to show evidence that they're there, and to leave them there is cruel. That no ghost should ever be left trapped, wandering out of its own incarnational cycle, just for the sport and fun of some people that are willing to pay a few shekels for a ticket. I challenged the ghost hunter on this, and he hung up the phone on me. Imagine that. We'll be back on the Halloween edition of the Dr. Kevin Show with some more ghost stories, and open to take your questions at 202-570-7057.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world one om at a time. And here on this Halloween night on the Dr. Kevin Show, we're talking ghosts. We've been talking a little bit about my history with ghosts, the first ghost I ever met, and and then subsequently some things that I wanted people to know about ghosts. If you would like to share your own ghost stories or ask me questions about what ghosts are or are not or anything like that, you can call in at 202-570-7057, or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and you will see a post about tonight's show, you can post your comments there, and I will bring them on air. So in our last segment, we talked about some of my first ghostly experiences, the idea of clearing a ghost, and that a ghost is a trapped soul, that is someone that is trapped. It's not someone that is there willingly, but somebody who is stuck in between their last lifetime and their next lifetime, and they're looking for somebody to help them. We talked about ghost hunters, and we talked about the fact that ghosts are still souls, and that if they need their help, to turn our back on them is an act of cruelty, especially just so we can make money. So now we're going to spend this last segment telling some actual ghost stories. I told a little bit of one when I talked about the ghost that I grew up with and how I went back and healed her, how she died but did not move on because she had had a commitment to wait forever, if needed be, for her fiancé, the love of her life, to return from what turned out to be the War of 1812, and died before he came home, which he never would have done because he died in the War of 1812, but she didn't know it when she died. So what are some of the other things that can happen, or some of the other ghost stories that I have to tell? Well, I was recently teaching this ghost class at one of the many places that I teach in my own local area, in the kind of, I teach in Portland, Maine, and I teach in Londonderry, New Hampshire, and I teach in Nashua, New Hampshire, and then sometimes I guest teach in other places. But I put a lot of my stuff actually on DVD because I get requests for classes in places where it just is not viable for me to go and teach them, henceforth the ghost class. So I was recently teaching this, and one of my students in the class said to me, have you ever cleared a ghost over 1,000 years old? And I had to stop and think about it for a second because I hadn't thought about it in a time format. But then I realized that, yes, actually, I had. I had cleared a ghost over 1,000 years old. And the immediate assumption, because I said that I had done ghost clearings in England and Europe, as well as across the country, everyone's like, oh, so this is somebody you cleared in England. And it's like, actually, no. It was a ghost that I cleared off the coast of Washington, a ghost that I cleared up in the north part of Washington State, in over on the San Juan Islands. And so I was invited over to an island that was beautiful but seemed to have a lot of repetitive troubles for the people that went to stay there, and that there was an energy and that people would be drawn there, but then it seemed as if there'd be a lot of things that would happen, that people would become cruel, or they would have issues with drinking or with drugs, or engage in behaviors that those behaviors hadn't really existed in them before they took up residency on this island. So I was brought over to see what I could pick up on. And what I had picked up on was the last remaining shaman of a tribe that had lived there almost 1,000 or more than 1,000 years ago, because I did this in the 1990s, was when I did this particular ghost clearing, and that tribe had lived there 900 AD, more or less, somewhere around that time frame, so close around 1,000. And the story that this shaman told me, because that's one of the ways, this is one of the ways of clearing a ghost, or as far as I'm concerned, it's really the only completely sure way to clear a ghost. And I just want to say, P.S., waving sage, trying to stink them out, or splatting some holy water out of them, and you try to see if you can, you know, drive them out. I mean, like you squirt a kitten that misbehaves, or a cat. May get the ghost out of where it is, but doesn't necessarily clear it over. And demanding and screaming and hollering and setting all sorts of symbols and rituals and all of that. No. When you're clearing a ghost, you're healing a troubled and wounded soul. And healing takes compassion and knowledge. And it takes a little effort. It just doesn't take a $5 bundle of sage from your local New Age store. Like I said, you may drive them out of that spot, but now you've just made your ghost homeless. Really? You just really needed to make the ghost homeless? You couldn't do the real work and actually help them to heal and move over to the other side? So when this ghost told me their story, that there were two tribes that were warring, and one tribe had lived on this particular island, and that genocide had been committed upon that tribe. But before the genocide had been complete, the shaman had promised that he would stay and guard the island and be there to, for the island to be reclaimed by his people. And he was killed before the genocide was completed. And so in his death, he had made a commitment to be there to wait for the island for the return of the people, and was trapped there, waiting for a people that would never return because genocide had been committed. So part of this was to then build a relationship. Yes, yes. Build a relationship with the ghost to talk with the ghost, and then to bring forward from the other side someone that the ghost would actually connect with, would believe, and would feel had the power to release him from his commitment, his very important commitment to be there and fulfill his role as shaman of the tribe. In this case, we brought the person who was the leader, the chief, the head of the tribe. We called upon his soul and asked his soul to join us, to make themselves known. And this energy did, and released the shaman. Now, the shaman, in all the time he was there, every time he saw people coming, felt like his island was being invaded. It was being raided. He was trying to defend. He was trying to hold the energy for his people. And people that were particularly psychically sensitive, that may had underlying unresolved issues that had just never shown up before, they could be negatively impacted by this energy, that it would actually bring out, instead of the best in people, the worst in people, the people that were very psychically in tune and sensitive to them. So when we did this, it definitely did a lot of to clear up the energy of the island. Last time I checked, and it's been a while because it was a long time ago, that things definitely were better after I left. So that's, again, a very different ghost story than the first one of the young woman who was waiting for her fiancé versus a shaman who had a duty, who had a commitment, and was waiting out of that duty. Now, before I tell another ghost story, I also want to address an issue that may affect some of you who are listening to me, that may make you wonder, may be the question that you were thinking you'd like to call in and ask, but didn't. So there are people who are ghost magnets. There are people, and I run across them, who seem to be very in tune to the vibration of a ghost. So you have a ghost, you have a trapped soul, and they're looking through a plexiglass window, and they're watching the world change, but don't know exactly, can't quite comprehend what's going on, what's happening. But somebody comes in, and they are psychic, they are the right flavor or vibration of psychic, that they can sense that disincarnate entity, that ghost there. And what the ghost sees is that that person can feel them or give some indication that they recognize they're there. And so then, of course, obviously, the ghost will attach themselves to that person. They attach themselves to the person trying to get their attention. Help me, can you help me? They do what they can to get that person's attention, to get them, you know, like, hi, I know you know I'm here. Sometimes that ghost may even, if that person leaves that place, because oftentimes ghosts will be attached to a place that they died or a place that had great significance to them, which is where their spirit went at their moment of death, and will follow this like a puppy, because I know you see me, I know you see me, help, help, I know you see me. Now, being a ghost magnet means that you have an awareness of ghosts, and you have within you inherently an ability to communicate with that ghost and to perhaps even clear that ghost. That clearing a ghost is just developing a psychic skill set, which you are already in alignment with, that you have within you, if you chose to focus and develop it, the ability to do, which is to communicate to that ghost, to find out what's that ghost story, to puzzle out why they're trapped, and then what do you need to do to help them recognize that they can leave, that they can move on. Now, ghost, interestingly enough, being a ghost magnet, and seeing ghosts there does not necessarily mean that you have it in you that you are naturally a medium. A medium is someone who talks to dead people. But they're talking to dead people who are talking back, who are not trapped, who have made their progression and are speaking from a different place. They're not behind what I call the plexiglass window, watching the world go by. Now, maybe it's a kissing cousin, so to speak. Maybe you can go from one to the other pretty easily, but it doesn't necessarily mean. You would still have to work with that psychic, because psychic is like a muscle, and the more you work with it, the stronger it gets. You would have to work on that psychic muscle. You would have to help. You would have to know the difference between directing your psychic towards medium work, towards ghost work. So I want to put it out there, because sometimes it seems like some people are clearly ghost magnets, even as little kids, versus little kids that are not ghost magnets, but are dead people magnets. Dead people that aren't trapped, that is. And that it's handling and working with it differently from one to the other. Now, I gave you two examples. And in one example, it was about duty and commitment. And the other one, it was about an intense commitment as well, but it was a commitment of love versus a commitment of duty. However, a lot of the time, I find that what will trap a spirit from moving on is fear. There is a fear of death. There is a fear of what is waiting on the other side of death. And that it is the fear that incapacitates them from moving on. And that somehow those fears have to be addressed and worked with to help the ghost actually be okay with moving towards the light and not be afraid that the light are the flames of the fire and brimstone hellfires of their upbringing, of their religion, of their belief systems, that somehow that there is nothing good that waits for them beyond death. That is the thing that most ghosts have in common. There are the love, there is the love, there is the duty, there is the anger and the vengeance sometimes. And then sometimes they simply don't know they're dead. And on that note, have a happy Halloween. Thank you for joining me here at the Dr. Kevin Show. Next week, we will have on the first Thursday of November, Matt Connaughton back to talk about what's going on in the world politically from a spiritual perspective. We will talk to you then here on the Dr. Kevin Show.